Morning. So far as we've started this month, we've dug into this theme, this journey to see the gospel. The gospel being the good news that Christ brought with him. And something that we've seen is that the gospel not only pertains to what God did for this world, but something that it did was the gospel truly took root in our own lives and it's become personal for us. And so we saw last week for Paul as he tells his story is that this gospel became personal. It affected his very life. And this morning we're going to see that not only does the gospel affect what goes on in the world, not only does it affect what goes on personally, but for each of us it challenges us as the gospel is at work in those right in front of us. As we see this big word, gospel, littered throughout the book of Galatians, we recognize that we have a mission to go out and to accomplish. As Paul writes, some of what he writes as he continues this book is going to get more and more controversial. Some of what he writes is going to step on some toes. And so what Paul is continuing to do here is he's showing some of his credentials. And I want us to recognize that as Paul shows his credentials, those credentials are not scholarly, they're not socially, they're not even religiously focused. The credentials are all based on the gospel. The gospel at work in the world, the gospel at work in himself, and the gospel at work in those he reaches out to. This gospel changes everything. And one of the things we talked about last week is how powerful it becomes when the gospel becomes personal. And when it becomes personal, it is natural for it to overflow. To overflow in a way that is so bizarre, that is so unique, that's at some points, it becomes contentious. And you see that happened over and over again in Paul's life as he reached out to those around him. The gospel was spurring him on so dramatically that those he shared it with made some of the people who had been sitting around him for a long time start to squirm in their seats. And so as Paul continues in the second chapter of Galatians, I hope you open up your Bibles this morning to there. We see that the gospel testimony is rooted here, and it becomes a calling card that explains the expanding grace that marks our lives. And so as boundaries are continued to be pushed and challenges arise, we are called to share this love, God's story, the gospel, with others. So starting out in Galatians chapter 2, we see here in the first 10 verses where Paul begins to tell us this story. He just got done telling us about how his life has been transformed by the gospel, how a personal encounter with Jesus gave him this is now moment. And Paul said that his story, people are hearing all about it. The thing that they're hearing is that the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith that once tried to destroy. That's how chapter 1 ended. And as chapter 2 begins, Paul tells us that 14 years had passed at this moment. 14 years where he had been growing in his faith, in his relationship with God, and growing in a way that he expressed the gospel to those around him. 14 years he had been living out the transformation that happened. 14 years this personal relationship with Jesus had taken place, and Paul just knew that he needed to go and check in on and see how things were. And so Paul lets him know that hey, in this process, in these 14 years, I have been preaching what? What has he been preaching? The gospel. A few of you are awake. A few of you got it. He says in verse 2, he says, I presented to them the gospel. Paul says, not only have I been preaching the gospel to the Galatians, but I got this Greek friend here. His name is Titus. He's been partnering with me to preach the gospel. And by the way, public knowledge for them, he isn't circumcised. That's going to become important later. In fact, here, Paul makes the point that with my friend Titus, it was even more faithful because who Titus was fell right into who they were trying to reach. And not only where they were trying to reach, but also where the disciples and the apostles had called them to preach. He says, Titus has been my friend. He's been helping me along. We've been preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, to those who are uncircumcised. We've been doing this together. Titus is here with me. He's uncircumcised as well. It's done great things to promote who we've been trying to reach to. And so Paul also knew that though the fact that they had someone with him that didn't fit into the cultural and religious norm of his people, that some were upset at him. See, he had Titus going along, preaching with him, proclaiming the gospel with him, living out this transformation that had happened not only in Paul's life, but in Titus's life as well. And he knew that by having this friend who didn't fit into the cultural norm, and by reaching out to people who didn't fit into the cultural norm, that there was going to be contention. And so Paul lays out that, hey, you know what, this contention that's arising, that is a result exactly of the mission field that we're called to. So what does all of this teach us? What does the first 10 chapters of Galatians chapter 2, first 10 verses of Galatians chapter 2 tell us about life back then and what we can learn today from those first generation Christians? The way that they lived by the influence of Christ's work, and I want us to look at where this hits us, where we are today. So the first thing that we see in this book of Galatians, in this letter written to these people, is that we each have a mission field that might be different. You each have a mission field, but it might be different from those around us. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul tells us that there's this time of the story that they recognize two things. They recognize two things in this whole confrontation here that Paul had with Peter, with the apostles, with those around him. He says first that Paul was called to the Gentiles, and second that Peter was called to those culturally identified as part of the Jewish community. It's in verse 7 right there that Paul says, on the contrary, recognizing that those would oppose the work that they are doing, he says, on the contrary, they recognize that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. So they recognize that in each of them, for each of them, they had a specific and unique mission that they were called to. There's a mission field that even though they would be in the same general area, they would be reaching out to people who were completely different. And they recognized this. They made a point of explaining this, that they would be living and working and ministering in the same area, but they were each called to completely different people. And I think in that we see a picture of what the church is called to do as well. Because as we see that Peter and Paul were called in this way to the same place but to different people, we can see that each of us are called in this amazing way. But your mission field might be different than mine. your mission field might be different than the person sitting right next to you. But you have a mission field, and it may be different. And that's okay. That's okay. See, you may have people right in front of you every day that you are the only representation of Christ that they will ever see. The hard question becomes, what are you doing with that responsibility? For Paul, there was such a buy-in to reaching out to those in his personal mission field that it made people upset at him. Paul was bringing in people into this relationship with Jesus that it made others around him uncomfortable. It made those that were even in leadership with him uncomfortable. I was wondering, could you imagine a church body with 10 Pauls in it? The type of people that would be sitting in the pews? 10 Pauls running around, bringing in people that everybody else looks at and says, what in the world are they doing here? What did that look like? And what a challenge it is for us to live that out. How great would it be if we started bringing people that were so broken that people on the outside, people in other churches, people even sometimes in our churches were looking at them and saying, what in the world are they doing here? And we could answer, they're the work of the gospel. They're the work that Christ has transformed our lives and it's spilled over into them. They're our brothers and sisters. That would be amazing. That'd be incredible. That'd be a testimony. I think that's a challenge to us that our church, that our small groups, that our Bible studies, that our fellowship should be met with people that sometimes makes people uncomfortable. Because when people look at those that they think don't deserve the gospel, I think what I see more and more is that precisely is the gospel. Because a story of someone that doesn't deserve to be included being brought into a loving relationship with their Creator God, who is perfect, who is holy, who is righteous, and not deserving a bit of it. Folks, that's my story. And I think that's all of our story. That we didn't earn it, that we didn't deserve it, but God reached out to a relationship with us. That's the good news, isn't it? How does it change our lives when we realize that we have a place and we have a people right in front of us that have the same story as us? That they're in need of a Savior, that they're in need of a loving relationship with a God who cared enough to send his Son to die for them. As we continue in Paul's letter to the Galatian people, and especially as he continues in this story of himself and of Peter, we see a big piece that plays a part in how this spreading of the gospel works, because what Paul begins to lay out is that there should be no boundaries to the gospel, to the good news of the love that Christ brings. It continues on in verses 11 through 14, and and he looks at it and he says that each of us, we may have one personal and specific mission field that we're made for, that we're passionate about, that we're equipped for, that we're excited to accomplish. But your mission should not limit you stepping up and stepping in to what your brother and sister may be in their mission. Because what we see is that because our missions are different does not mean that they are removed from one another. Because you may have a completely different mission than those around you, it doesn't limit you from stepping in and loving those people that they're loving. It doesn't disqualify you from sharing the way that God has worked in your own life with someone that others may be reaching out to. And that's a little bit of what happens here for Peter and for Paul. Because what happens in verse 11 through 14, Paul says that when Peter comes over to Antioch, they're hanging out, they're having this meal, and Peter was fine being with the Gentiles. He was fine being with those who didn't identify culturally with the Jews, with those who weren't observing their traditions. But something changed. Someone came to the party who had a little more standing with the Jewish people, who fit in more with the Jewish Christians than they did the Gentile Christians, and it changed how Peter would interact with those they were being called to love together. Instead of when this friend of Peter's came, Peter's saying, hey, you know what? We're hanging out with these guys and the gospel's at work with them. Instead of that happening, Peter begins to step back. And he begins to disassociate with those that didn't fit his norm. And this lights a fire under Paul. He looks at him. He says in verse 12, he says, Peter was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. And worse, continuing to verse 13, he says the other Jews joined him in this hypocrisy. When people treat those that they should be ministering to differently because of those they're around, this sticks right in Paul's craw. Those who we are around should not interfere with those we interact with on behalf of the gospel. This is something that marked Paul's ministry and marked his life identified with the gospel. It's the premise of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 when Paul says, though I am free and belong to none, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, to win those not having the law. Paul says, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. He says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I may save some. This is where that remark about Titus earlier becomes important. Because Peter walks in and he has Titus on one side. This fellow follower along with him, this fellow worker along with him, we get to see his story in the letter that Paul writes to Titus. It's under the title Titus in the Bible. We get to see him in Acts chapter 16, a little bit of his story. We also get to see another. we get to see this man named Timothy. These are both followers that Paul brings along and that Paul has been ministering to, that Paul has been walking beside and that are ministering alongside of him. And to many, Titus fell into one group. He didn't classify himself, he didn't identify himself Jewishly or culturally with the Jewish people. And in plain terms, it says he wasn't circumcised. And that was a mark that had set apart the Jewish people for generations. And Titus himself didn't see that as being something that he needed to fall under. But on the other side, in the other category, we see Timothy, another young man who Paul was grooming to minister, and Timothy found that it was going to be something for him that would be a benefit to his ministry. In Acts chapter 16, there, where it talks about this, it talks about what's going on, and in verse 3, Paul tells us that Timothy decided to be circumcised because of the Jews who lived in that area. So Titus then becomes the statement of God's grace and his gospel at work providing freedom, while Timothy becomes the showing of the lengths that those transformed by the gospel are willing to go through to be a vessel used by God's Holy Spirit to reach as many as possible. They each had this mission that was completely different. And it transformed the way that they acted, the way that they reached out, the way that they identified themselves culturally. And it was because they knew one thing. It was because they knew where their identity lied eternally. Because when it all comes back to our actions, our actions are not what makes us righteous. And so our righteousness should not keep us from the good works that we are called to do in order to share the good news of Jesus. Paul says it in this way in verses 15 through 18. He says, "We who are Jews by birth are not sinful Gentiles. Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker." You see, we each have this path to walk that says because of the gospel, because of God's transforming work in our lives, we are going to be marked by that transformation. We're going to live out our lives differently because of the way that what is inside is different. But at the same time, because of Christ, because of that transformation that's happened, because of that love and that freedom that is found in Jesus, we're free to do what we need to reach those around us. Does that mean that we can see it, that we can sin and say that it's for Christ? Absolutely not. We can't, however, use God as a crutch to neglect the work that Christ has called us to do. For Paul, we said this transformation is what marks this identity, not in the earthly things, not in the culturally things, was not what marked, but it was his eternal identity in Christ. So where is your identity found? Because where your identity is found is going to mark where your mission is. Paul ends out this letter with this beautiful surrender. He says, my identity is no longer my own. My life is no longer marked by me. But there's something greater. He says, for through the law I died to the law, so I might live for God. Paul says this, and I hope that it's each and every one of our stories today. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What a beautiful way to say the gospel. That I've been crucified with Christ. That I no longer live, but it is Christ that lives in me. This life that I live, it's all for Jesus. Paul says, I don't set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Christ didn't die for us to separate ourselves from others. Christ died so that we could have a relationship with him. And for each of us, when our life is marked by the identity found in the gospel, transformation happens and missions are accomplished. So I hope that today, as we step out, that we can step out with confidence, with boldness, with love to those around us because of the gospel that has been transformed inside of us. I hope we live a life and work a mission that's been transformed by the gospel. And if you want to talk about what it means to accept that gospel and to make it personal in your own life, we love to talk to you guys. Any of the elders, myself, we'd love to have that conversation about what the gospel means and what it means to make Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. But today, as we step out, will you stand as we pray and as we come to this time of invitation and singing? God, we thank you for your gospel that has transformed our lives, that has transformed our identity. It's transformed everything, God. As we say today that we have been crucified with Christ and that we no longer live, but is Christ living in us, help that to be so apparent to those that we come in contact with each and every day that you will make our lives a mission field. That those we reach out to each and every day, that they will see the gospel at work in us, and that we will not be able to help but to be overflowed by your love, by your grace, by your transformation. God, we thank you for your Son. It is Jesus that is the center of the gospel, that is the center of the good news, that you loved us so much, that you've rescued us from where we found ourselves in a broken world, but that you have transformed us into being your sons and your daughters, washed by the blood of your Son. God, we love you. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for the way that you are at work still. We lift all this up in Jesus' name.